And so this morning, as we continue in this discussion, one of the topics that comes up as I sit with students over the many years as they go through confirmation is this premise of, is Jesus the better choice? In other words, why should I follow Jesus over another path? At one point during our confirmation journey, we'll have the discussion of different faith traditions. We'll touch on Buddhism and Hinduism. But most of our time will be spent on the two major religions outside Christianity, Islam and Judaism. And students will inherently ask me, Pastor, why Christianity? What's the difference? I'll kind of throw the question back to them and say, well, why did you choose to follow Jesus? Because at the beginning of almost every confirmation year, I'll ask the question either the first week or the second week, do all of you believe in Jesus Christ? And not one confirmation class over the last 15 years has ever had one student say no. Now, I don't know if that's out of fear that if I say no to the pastor, I'll get in trouble, or if I say no, he'll go tell my parents I said no, and then I'll get in trouble later. I'm not sure which it is, but every time for the last 15 years, the answer is always yes. Then I'll ask the second question. I'll say, so tell me about your faith then. And then the room gets silent, real quick, real fast. Heads look down to the ground and hopes that I won't call on anyone individually to say, so tell me, Larry, about your faith and your belief in Jesus. And he does exactly like every other student for the last 15 years. He'll sit and wait and hope I'll move on. But the truth is, it's a question that I think all of us at one point or another might wrestle with. Now, for all of us, we've, for the most part, grown up in a household that believed. Most of us, I would suspect, that are in this room today would say that we came to know Christ really because our parents or grandparents or someone within our family brought us to church, or in some cases dragged us to church and made sure that we sat in one of these pews every Sunday. No matter how late we were out on Saturday night, we would be in church on Sunday, right? As Barbara told me this morning, she would be here no matter what time she went to bed on Saturday night. But that's where our faith came from. And then I would get a question from a student at some point, and they would say, well, what's the difference between Christianity and Islam or Judaism? Or some would even ask about Buddhism. Or Hinduism. Maybe I'd get a question about Taoism or some Scientology question that I wouldn't even have the answer for at that time. But the question, I think, is important that we wrestle with, because there are other faith traditions that exist in the world. There are other faith traditions that are out there. So why is it that we as Christians say our God, this path that we walk, is better? What's wrong with the other traditions? Or is there anything wrong with the other traditions? And while I would argue that for those other traditions, there are great values in them, there are great benefits that we can learn from other traditions, the truth is Christianity has something I believe over all of them, and that is Jesus Christ. Before we get into that, I want to touch on these other faiths just very briefly in case you aren't fully familiar with them. How many understand what Buddhism is? You can go ahead and raise your hand if you know. Go ahead, Larry. I know you know all about Buddhism. My daughter would say I have a Buddha belly, so therefore I must know. No, Buddhism itself is a fairly old faith tradition. It was started in Nepal by a name, and I'm going to read his name, and I apologize because there is no way I'll pronounce this correctly. if even if I had the phonetics written down, I'm still going to get it wrong, but it was Siddhartha Gautama. He was known as Buddha. He was born around 2,500 years ago. Now this individual, he never proclaimed to be God. He never even proclaimed to be a prophet. He only proclaimed to have a desire for enlightenment. In other words, perfection. But not in the perfection that we think of. He felt that as a wealthy individual, he had to shed all of his wealth and become poor so that he could walk towards, as he coined the phrase, enlightenment. That he would see the world in a different way. But the truth is, he was merely just a man following a desire in his heart. When we come to Hinduism, Hinduism dates back to about 1500 BC. These were writings that were passed down from generation to generation. Now the challenge with Hinduism is, and if you've never been to, anyone been to a Hindu temple before besides myself? No? Pat, you didn't go to one? Tim, you haven't been to a Hindu temple, really? I mean, what are y'all doing on Saturdays? I mean, come on. A Hindu temple is very interesting. It's a beautiful structure. When you go into the temple, there's a giant courtyard. And in the center of this courtyard is a statue. A statue of their supreme god, Brahma. Now in Hinduism, there's a supreme god. It is the god. There's one. But then around the courtyard are countless other gods. Hinduism has upward of 300, now get this, listen closely, 330, and this is accurate, million gods. Now, good luck figuring out which one to pray to, right? When you go into a temple, the one I was in India, there were 41 gods around the perimeter of the courtyard. And individuals were going to their god to pray to offer either flowers, some were laying food, whatever it was, they went to pray and pay homage to their god. That's Hinduism in a nutshell. It's very impersonable. These gods never encountered the human race. They are, if you will, way, way up here in the sky. They never come down into our realm. And that's Hinduism. And then we come to Islam. Islam is a very interesting, it is a, as we use the word, monotheistic. I had to read that, make sure I read it right. Basically, Islam has one God, just like we do. And in fact, Islam has the same God we do. The difference with Islam is they read the Quran, which is a book of peace. In Islam, it is all based on the writings that were passed down by Muhammad. Muhammad was a prophet. In fact, in their traditions, he was the last prophet. Has anyone here read the Quran or anything about the Quran? Okay, well, you're going to learn something. Do you know who's in the Quran? There's someone in the Quran that you might know. Who is it? Jesus is in the Quran. Abraham's in the Quran. Moses is in the Quran. A lot of the individuals we know and admire and look up to, and in case of Jesus, worship, can be found in the Quran. But to the Islamic faith, these are merely teachers. Jesus was merely a teacher. In fact, in some circles in Islam, he is a prophet. But that's as far as it goes. That's as far as they go. He was not the last prophet, and therefore that's why they do not worship Jesus. That Muhammad, when he came down from the mountain Mecca, he was the last great prophet. It is very much like Christianity, a religion, a faith tradition of peace and love. And sadly, much like Christianity, and even in case Judaism, individuals will use their faith traditions for evil. But at its core, at its heart, is love and peace. And then we come to Judaism. Now, Judaism is much closer to Christianity than Islam. Judaism in and of itself talks about God and our relationship with God. But it sees Jesus merely as a teacher, as a rabbi, not as the Messiah, as the Gospels proclaim and as teach us and that we know as Christians to be true. They see Jesus merely as a good teacher of faith. And there are many others, some I have no idea what they even teach, but they're out there. They encourage individuals to walk in their faith. Some walk towards a single God, some to no God at all, except for other things that I don't even understand. But then we come to Christianity. In our text this morning, we hear of a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Jewish Pharisee, sees something in Jesus, but he sees something different. He first recognizes that Jesus, well, he's a good teacher. We hear this. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. So he recognizes in his first statement, Jesus, you're a teacher. We know that you're a great teacher because I see you as a rabbi, yet there's something different about you. For Nicodemus, he couldn't put his finger on why the miracles that Jesus was performing could have only come from God. That no normal rabbi that he knew could teach and do what he was doing. And so for Nicodemus, he was struggling with this fact. Because his faith tradition said that this is not just a teacher, but someone different. Maybe even someone better. And so he questions Jesus. How can this be? How can you do these signs that could only come from God? And Jesus replies to Nicodemus. He says to him, "Very truly I tell you." Now, I need to pause there for a minute because that statement from Jesus is a statement of fact. Jesus would use the words, "Very truly, I tell you," to drive home the fact with those in the Jewish culture to say, this, what I'm about to say, you need to listen to. Because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you fact. He says that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, if that doesn't confuse Nicodemus and us, I don't know what would. He says that if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born from heaven, not from earth. Nicodemus, with his puzzled look, looks at Jesus and says, wait a minute. How can it be that if I want to see the kingdom of God, I have to be born from heaven versus from my mother's womb? We know that Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, when the angels appear to Mary and Joseph, to tell Mary that you are carrying a child born of the Holy Spirit, that this child comes from above, that this child is Emmanuel, God with us, that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are about to be given a precious gift. See, Jesus, in his statement to Nicodemus, reminds Nicodemus and really us that it's the work of God through Jesus Christ for us that points us to something better. Points us to something that we have in our faith tradition that's different than all the others. What we have is that through Jesus, God showed up in this world. God came to show us a path back to Him. And that's through the cross. That's through forgiveness. No other tradition has this gift. And so when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above if you wish to see the kingdom of heaven, what he's trying to point Nicodemus to is that you must have the faith and the Spirit of God within you. That if you wish to see the kingdom of God, well, it starts here. It starts with Him in our lives. And that, having Him in our lives, would then require us to make some shifts, wouldn't it? It will require us to walk in a different light. But the good news is, oh, the glorious news is, that because of this gift, that we are reminded and we are reassured that we are His beloved children. That no matter how broken we feel, how lost we are His. We are His. But that it is our call to live a life of faith. It is our duty to live for Him in all that we do every day. I tell students over and over again, the gift of Jesus for us is the gift of God in our lives. That God has walked on this earth. That God has felt the dust and the wind of the earth that He created. That God has been in your shoes, in a sense. He knows the struggles that you go through. He knows those moments of doubt that you hold. The frustration when we see someone not turning to Him, walking away from Him. The anger that it builds us when we see the world around us falling apart. God has been here. God has seen it all and still sees it all. And He is still present today. Because later in the Gospel of John, we'll read where Jesus turns to the disciples and says, while I leave you now, a great advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes in my name. Comes in the name of the Father. To teach you. And to be present in your life. See, this is the difference between the other faith traditions and ours. It's the gift that God gives to us. We heard in the 146th Psalm, David saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. It was because he recognized and witnessed the grace that God had given to him in his life. The strength that he got from no other place than the Holy Spirit. From no other path than what God was giving to him. And that it was God's act in the world to lift up those who were struggling. To stop the evil that was around him. That it was God who was going to bring heaven to earth and make it one. And so for all of us, I think the calling is not which faith traditions is better or stronger, but how can we walk in our faith with Jesus better? How can you and I grow stronger in our beliefs and faith? There are many things that we can learn from other traditions, but there are many things they can learn from us. And the biggest, and I believe the greatest, is that they have a God that loves them so deeply that He came into this world, that His Son, Jesus Christ, came to suffer, to die a horrible death. So that we would feel and know His love and grace in our lives. Amen.